Hello, everyone. Welcome. Today is Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. And I apologize for being late. I got caught on one of those things called a conference call. But I am here. Anyway, everyone, welcome, welcome. And as always, whatever platform you are on, thank you. Much appreciated. And I hope everyone's having a wonderful day. It is a beautiful day here in sunny Southern California. Hey, Blunt, how are you? Hope you are doing well. But, hey, Minnesota, how are you, girl? And I hope you're doing well as well. Frankie, hello. How are you? Figure out why my intro sounds the way it does. Okay, so let's get started. So today, I want to talk about friendship. You know, friends come and go, but why is being a friend so hard for some people? And, you know, I have, you know, people in my life who have, you know, they come and go. I'm pretty sure we all do. Hey, GP, welcome. You know, but why does it seem like that for some people? You know, they just don't know how to be a friend. And like I said, friends come and go. And when one of my friends, she's never been on my show. She listens to it on the replay, but when she always, you know, makes comments about my topic. And one thing that she said is that there are three types of friends. There are friends for a reason. There are friends for a season. And friends for a lifetime. And, you know, so, and then she said that you need to know what type, I'm reading from her text. She says, need to know what type of friend they are to adjust to your expectations. And I think that is so true. I think that is so true because some people, you know, when you have to, you know, it's true, but at the same time, I think that it's kind of sad when she says, you need to know what type of friend they are to adjust to your expectations. So, and when I say sad, I mean, for those people who just don't know how to be a friend, are they your friend? Now, I have some friends who, and this particular person, she also said to me, she says, you are a lifetime friend, like it or not. And I've known this woman for a very, very long time. And she's also a lifetime friend of mine too. But anyway, you know, are they really your friend? Now, what I was about to say is that you have friends that you know are going to be there when you need them. And what I mean by that, I think we talked about this once on another show, where you know the friends that will, what do I want to say? You know the friends who will fight for you. And when I say fight for you, I don't mean they have your back, like, you know, they're supporting you. I'm talking about, you have those friends who will step up and, you know, they'll be the loud ones. They'll be on that front line for you. They'll do that. But then you have those friends that you know are not that way. That's not in their nature. Naveen, welcome. You know that's not in their nature, and they're not going to go there, but you know that they're still your friend, and you know that they still have your back. It's just not in their nature to do certain things. You know, you have friends that you can go to for this or go to for that. You know, friends that, I have a friend that she is consistently late. I don't ask her to do something for me where I'm know that time is an issue. I don't go to her. And she knows I don't go to her for that reason. Does she get upset? No. Do I get upset? No, because I know, you know, and I know that, you know, that if I ever needed something, if I ever, you know, needed something where it was critical, and again, it was time, I know not to go to that friend. But then again, going back to the friends for a reason, friends for a season, and friends for a lifetime. To me, the friends for a reason, and we all probably have some people that are like this, they only call you when you want something. Or when, I'm sorry, when they want something. If they don't want anything, they do not call you. You don't hear from them. You don't see them. They never say anything to you until they want something, when they need something. But then they wait for you to call them. And they're probably sitting at home going, well, you know, and I've had people say this to me. Well, you never call me. Well, you don't call me unless you want something. I was tired of being the one always saying, hey, what's up? And you're just calling me when you want something. I know people who are like that. Do I consider them friends? Not anymore. I consider them an acquaintance. You know, and then you have the friends for a season. You know, the friends that only are there, you know, just hanging around, you know, just because this is going on or this is going on. But then when that moment is over, you don't hear from them again or see them again. And I'm not talking about the friends that you know, they're your friends, but you don't see them often, but you still talk to them. I'm talking about friends that only come around, you know, when certain things are going on, whatever, and then they're ready to hang around, then they leave. And then when something else is going around, they want to hang around, then they leave. And then you have those friends for a lifetime. You have those friends that you know, no matter what, they are there. Whether it's the good times, the bad times, you know, the hard times, the fun times, they are there. Even if you haven't seen this person in years, but they are still there. You may see them every day. They are still there. No matter what, you're there for them. They are there for you. And for me, you know, you meet new people who come into your life and you hope they can be lifetime friends. When I meet new people, I hope they can be a lifetime friend. You know, but then there are some people that you meet and it's like, oh, okay, you know, they're just that seasonal friend. But you have other people who you just know are going to be those friends that last. And then GB says, hey, haven't talked to you in 2 years. Can I borrow $100? Yes, those people are the, you know, friends for a reason. They only talk to you when they want something. But then, again, the key word is borrow. But when it comes time to pay back, those friends are nowhere to be found. They have amnesia. All of a sudden, $100. Or the friends that say, and this is one of my favorite ones. You know, they owe you, whether it be money, whether it be whatever, a favor, whatever. And the first thing they say is, but we're supposed to be friends. But we're supposed to be friends. Or if you were my friend. But see, can't I throw that back and say, well, if you were my friend, you wouldn't treat me a certain way. If you were my friend, you wouldn't do this to me. See, friendship only comes up in the narrative when they want something. I mean, do you guys think I'm right, wrong? I mean, you know, I just want to know. And I'm also the type of person who, for me, at least for me, I take being a friend on the serious side. You know, being a friend means something to me. And that, you know, and is, you know, you know, friendship is a give and take. You know, you're not always going to be happy with your friends. Your friends are going to piss you off. Your friends are going to make you angry. You may go through a period of time where sometimes you may not even speak to your friends. But if you're able to come back together, that says something. But I've been lucky enough to have friends in my life that we can tell each other about ourselves. We can tell each other where to go sometimes, because sometimes we need to hear that. We can be honest with each other. I mean, down to the bone honest. We may not like it. We may not want to hear it, but we're able to do that. And then GB says, hey, can I stay at your place until my get my own place? Maybe months later. GB, now see. You talked about staying at somebody's place. Let's talk about that for a minute. If you're friends with someone and they ask to stay at your place, or you ask to stay at their place, you want to stay with them. Hey, Power Girl. Would you take advantage of that friendship? Would you overstay your welcome? And as a friend who you're asking if you can reside with them, don't you have an obligation to pitch in with the housework, with bills, food? Or are you treating their home like your flop house? Come and go as you please, and you never once do anything to help. Are you being a friend? I don't think so, but that's just me. You know, that again falls into a friend for a reason. Now, there are some people who will most definitely, there are some people who will most definitely do what they're supposed to do. And when I say that, they will pitch in, they will help. And there are some people who will, when they say, "Can I stay at your place until I get my own place?" they are actively, seriously looking for their own place because they don't want to stay with you for a long period of time. They do want to get their own place. They do realize that, I mean, even when people say, "No, you're not imposing," you are, and they are. Because when you have someone in your home that is not usually there, it disrupts the flow of your home, even if you live by yourself. You're used to doing things a certain way. And when people come into your home, they are imposing. I don't care whether it's family, friends, whatever. They are. Your life does change on some level. So as a friend, I would think that you would want to kind of, you know, make it not such an imposition. But again, that's just me. I think friends value each other. Friends don't purposely say things to each other that would hurt them. They're not disrespectful to each other. And there are some people who, you know, and friendship, you know, it is a balancing act. Because you're not disrespectful to the person that you're supposed to call your friend. But some people they do. They disrespect you. They take advantage of you. And they think it's okay. And I have had people do that to me. But one day, the light bulb went off. you know, and I had to step back. Okay, GB says spending the night is one thing, but long term is a no go. I mean, I agree with you, GB. I agree with you. You know, but then you have, you know, those people who are very, very nice, and there are a lot of very nice people. But if you're being kind to someone, that doesn't mean you take advantage of them. And Minnesota says, since we're teens. Oh, okay. Yes. Minnesota and I have known each other since we were teens. In fact, her brother is one of my very, very best friends. You know, so everybody's not going to have somebody that, I'm not saying that you have to have these lifelong friends if you've known for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years or what have you. You know, I mean, even if you have that good friend that, you know, those close friends that you've only known for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years, you know who those people are. And you know who the people who are not your friends. So again, I come back to my original question. Why is being a friend so hard for some people? Why are they not able to be a friend? And do these same people have a hard time maintaining just a relationship? And I'm talking about a personal relationship. In terms of couples, whatever you perceive that couple to be, do they have a hard time doing that also? Because, you know, being a friend is, it is about relationships. I mean, do some people have a hard time, you know, being a friend because they don't trust people? Okay, and GP says they're not good people to begin with. So are you saying that people who have a hard time being a friend, who struggle to make friends? Oh, well, let me ask this first. Do you think that people who have a hard time being friends for people are bad people? So when you say not good people, are they just bad people? Or are there some people who struggle, you know, who have a hard time being friends because they struggle to be a friend? Like they just don't know how. When I was in college, I had this girl that she was my partner on a project we had to turn in. And it was a months-long thing. And GB says, yes, they struggle with second parties. Okay. And she was nice. But she never ever, she was a loner. And there's nothing wrong with being loners. Hey, Chuck. You know, there was nothing wrong with being a loner. But, you know, after class or whatever, you know, I'm off to my next class or, you know, I'm going somewhere, I'm hanging out with someone. And she just kind of just always just by herself. So one day, you know, she asked me if you know, I wanted to have lunch with her. Sure, I don't care. Yeah, we know. And after that, it was like she didn't become stalker, but she was trying so hard to be my friend that I was pushing her away because it was like, whoa, you know, what's going on here? And I made sure that I, at first it was a struggle because she was just coming on so strong. Well, do you want to do this? Do you want to go here? Do you want to go there? You know, whatever. It was like she was just constantly in my face. You know, and I had to struggle to bring it back to, okay, we're doing this to work on this project together. We're going so we can get a grade and that's it. So again, are there just some people who just struggle and they don't know how to be a friend because they don't know how to go about it? Because she would say things that were just awkward. You know, so then that's when I say, are there just some people who don't know how to be a friend in that way? Now let's talk about the friends for a season. You know, and I said, you know, friends for a season, they're the ones that show up, you know, at certain times. If they know that certain thing is going on, you know. They only want you when they want something at a particular time. GB says, having your baby shower come by. Yep. Christmas comes around. They happen to pop around right around the holidays. You know, they may not get a gift, but maybe they'll, you know, get that invitation to that party you always have or the party you're always going to. When I worked in entertainment, I used to get the Academy screeners. And what that was, I was able to see all of the movies that came out that year. And they would be on disc and I can take them home and watch them, you know, whatever. And I had people who knew that I had those. All of a sudden they pop up. Hey, you know, do you have the movie? Hey, can I borrow that movie? Hey, any other time I would not see them. I would not see them. I saw them once a year. And that was during the Academy's season. I kid you not. Or as GP says, you have those people. When it's time for them to have that baby or, you know, they're getting married or whatever, all of a sudden, you know, you ever get an invitation from someone that you haven't talked to in years? All of a sudden, you're getting an invite to their wedding? Or they happen to tell you that they're having a baby shower, whatever, just like, you know, GB says. Any other time, you don't hear from them. Friends for a reason. They only want to be your friend at a certain time in your life. But then you have those friends for a lifetime. And like I said, the ones that will just be there for you no matter what. Even if you're just picking up the phone and you're just laughing, even if you're just sending a silly text or something, no matter what, you know that person is there. And they know you are there. You know, so I go back to, why is it so hard for some people? You know, the friends for a reason I can deal with. Yeah, okay. Hey, Lou. Welcome back. You know, the friends for a reason, you know, I can deal with. You know, it's like you know they're going to pop up at a certain time. No, I'm sorry. I take that back. The friends for a season, I can deal with, but the friends for a reason are the ones that I really have a problem with. The ones who only call you when you want something, and then it's silence. All radio silence is just broken. They get the information they want, and then they're gone. But then they wonder why you're not calling them. Because you know that the only time they call you is when they want something. And you're tired of always extending yourself. You're tired of always being the one to say, hey, you know, just call to say, hey, how you doing? They don't even do that. And if they do that, it's after they call you. Or they may call you and say, hey, what's going on? Oh, by the way, how do you do this? Or did you do that? Then they get it, you know, then they'll say what they want. You all may talk a little bit more, hang up, complete silence. You don't hear from them anymore. And people who are friends for a reason are usually the ones that don't have lifetime friends. And I don't mean somebody that you went to school with, whatever. And you see them 20 years later. I don't consider them a lifetime friend if you have not been actively talking to that person. You're just an acquaintance at that point. Or somebody that you know, or somebody that you went to school with, someone that you grew up with. But to be a friend takes work. And it does take time. It does take time out of your day to pick up a phone and say hello. It does take time to respond to a text. I mean, there are some people who never, ever call anyone back. And I'm not talking about people who I mean, I have a friend who, you know, when I text her and she does not respond to me, I know I'm not going to hear from her for at least 2 weeks because she's busy. She has so many things going on. I don't expect people that when I text them, whatever, they are responding to me, you know, just like that. I don't always do it. I try. But sometimes you just get so busy and so wrapped up that you forgot that text came through or whatever. And you just, you know, and then you're going through your text later. You say, oh, you know, I forgot to respond to whatever. But I'm saying there is just some people that only, that just don't respond at all. They don't return your phone call ever. But then they wonder why they didn't get invited to the party. Let's talk about that. And GB says, the only ships that don't sink are real friendships. And that's true. That is true. But the friends for a reason, those are not friends. Those are people who only want to talk to you when they want something. So you adjust yourself. You know, like my girlfriend texted me today when we were going back and forth about the show today. She said, need to know what type of friend they are to adjust your expectations. And I have adjusted, at least for me, expectations of certain people. You know what they're going to do and you know what they're not going to do. And the friends who are like that, who in terms of adjusting my expectations, are the friends who fall into the category of friends for a reason and friends for a season. My lifetime friends, I don't have to adjust my expectations because I know who they are, what they're capable of. And like I said, you have those friends who are just quiet and they're it's not in their nature to do certain things. You have those friends who are boisterous and they'll be the first one, to curse somebody out if you're getting into it with someone, whatever. You're like, okay, you can chill down, whatever. But you have those other people who they just are not able to do that. And like I said, I have friends that are like that. They are just, they're just very quiet. They're not meek or mousy or anything. They're just very quiet. They just don't do that. I don't get upset. But those friends for a reason are the ones that I think find it really hard to be friends. Now, there are people out there that are awkward. They're socially inept, so to speak. They may be shy. They may want to extend themselves, but they just can't muster up, the to go there. You have to approach them first. Hi, how are you? Whatever. Hi, whatever. And then little by little, they'll start to come out of their shell. And next thing you know, you can't shut them up. I'm not talking about those people. Tomorrow I'm kind of into this whole friendship thing. But you have talk about taking advantage of people, but you have people who are just, or sometimes you meet people and you're like, they're kind of lukewarm, more on the cool side. You can take them or leave them. But there are some people that you meet and you really like them. You truly like them. And see, I'm this person. When I meet somebody, I will tell you right then, like, I really enjoy meeting you. I like you, whatever. Because if I really do, but I'm not going to tell somebody that I, enjoy them or whatever if I don't mean it. And I hope no one does that to me. But I do take friendship seriously. And I think it's sad when people look around one day and they don't have any friends. They don't have any friends. I think that's sad, and I think that's lonely. GP says, do you agree with the statement, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are? I've never heard that statement before. Show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. I would say yes and no, GP, because I don't think everyone has, how do I want to say this? Everyone's friends come in different flavors. Some may be loud and boisterous, and some may be really, you know, quiet. You may have friends that cuss a lot, and you may have some friends that don't. But I agree with it on the sentiment that if your friends, no matter what flavor they are, if they are all good people, that friend that cusses a lot could be one of the nicest people ever, then yeah, I do agree. If you hang around a different, you know, groups of people who, you know, again, no one is the same, but they're all mean people, and you're hanging around them, and that's who you prefer to be with, well, then that is who you are. But those same people could be some of the nicest people. They just, they're just different. Everyone, you know, they all have, like I said, everyone's personality is different. So on that regards, yes. So I think it depends because you look at some people and you say to yourself, or someone may say to you, or you say to them, you know, why are you friends with them? But you're friends with them that even because they are this and they may be loud or whatever, they're a loud, nice person. They're a nice person who happens to be loud and they happen to do this and do that, but they're really, really nice. So does that make sense, GP? Does that make sense at all? Hopefully it does. You know, so, we don't all want
to be around, at least I don't,
to be around people that are just carbon copies of yourself. You want different flavors. You want different types of people in your life. You know, you want to, you know, I mean, it would be boring if we were all Stepford wives. You know, I mean, that would just be boring. It would get monotonous really, really fast. You know, I think it's good to just have different people in your life. But again, I say, if you hang around that wrong crowd and you're doing what they're doing and they're not nice people, and I will say, are you the same? You know, then again, you have people who want to be friends with people so they can, quote unquote, fit in. They want to hang around with the cool people. Well, who are the cool people? You know, and as you get older, you know, and you look back, you know, at least for me, if I look back at high school, because I was a nerd, I was a straight up nerd. But I look back at some of the people I went to high school with who were supposed to be part of the cool people. And you say to yourself, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to, you know, be that way, because sometimes the cool people are sometimes the mean people. You want to hang around a bunch of mean people? Welcome, Mrs. Mensah. I cannot pronounce the first name, so I'm just going to say Mrs. Mensah. Welcome. You know, then those friends from high school that you're still friends with many, many years later. Who were those people? Were they the nerds? Were they the cool people? Were they the people who were on the football team and the cheerleaders and what have you? I mean, not saying that those people are all bad. But some people want to be friends with people just so they can fit in. And if you have to be friends with people just so you can fit in, maybe you're not meant to be friends with them. Maybe you're not meant to be with that group of people. And it's sad because young people do feel that way. I mean, when you're in grammar school, you know, you have your little group of friends, then you go to middle school. But middle school to senior year of high school, that's hard. That's really hard. If I can have any thing that I would not do over again, I would not do high school over. High school is hard. And I'm not talking about the books and the education. I'm talking about just navigating the people. Because all of a sudden you're in the school, no matter how big or small your school is, you go from elementary school and then you're in high school, and all of a sudden you're around all these people who come from different schools, different areas, different, you know, whatever. They're not the same little group of people that you were comfortable with. Now all of a sudden you're in high school. And if you're a freshman, you know. That usually sucks, you know, but you're trying to be friends. You're trying to be liked. Maybe the best friend you had in elementary school, he or she's found a new crowd. You don't fit in with that crowd. He or she does, your supposedly best friend. But now you're by yourself trying to, again, find a friend and be a friend. You know, and another thing too that I want to say about lifetime friends, when you have a lifetime friend, this is just my experience with my lifetime friends, we can say things to each other and we don't. Use it against each other. Whereas you have those friends for a reason, or friends for a season, or friends who are just not really your friend. They're your pretend friend. They'll take something that they know about you or something that you've said, and they will weaponize it against you. To me, real friends don't do that. And those real friends tend to be those lifetime friends.
you know, but some people have a friendship circle that's really, really big. Some people have some that are really small. You know, I think it's funny that when I think about Facebook and Facebook first came out and, you know, everybody was, you know, friending this person, friending that person. And, you know, you have 4,000 friends on Facebook. You don't have 4,000 friends. You don't have 4,000 friends on Facebook. You may have 4,000 people that follow you, but you don't have 4,000 friends. You know, I'm very rarely on Facebook. I have like 38 friends on Facebook. And when I tell people that, people laugh. But those friends are people who I can pick up the phone and call and say, hey, what's up? They're not a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend that I friended or they friended me. And people have asked on Facebook to friend me. And I'm like, I don't know who this person is. I'm not just going to friend you. Because even like things like Facebook and you have to think about this too. Things like Facebook and stuff, when you're friending people and you're posting things, you're posting things about your life, about who you are. So you're letting those people in. You know, yeah, people can go on, they can go on your social media, they can see this and they can see that, you know, but but on Facebook where you have your settings and, you know, what have you, you can see who sees what, you know, whatever, but, you know, you're letting people into, you know, parts of your life. You know, so when you are just, hold on, GP, let me catch you. Oops, hold on, let me. Hold on. So you have to think about that even for just you having your personal friends, that when you have friends in your life, you're letting people into your life. And you have to be careful who you let in, because everyone is not a friend. Hey GP.
Hey Solid, how are you?
I'm good. What's up?
So on this topic, I was doing stuff right now. I finally had a chance to call. But it reminded me of something that I saw when I was in the military. It reminded me of one of my first lieutenants that I had. He was like maybe 24, 25 maybe. He was just a second lieutenant. First assignment, you know, he's young. And so after duty, you know, what you do is you get together with your sergeants and everybody, we all get together, the lieutenants, and we just have a drink or have dinner or something, because we don't know nobody. We get stationed wherever. So Uncle Sam tells us we're going to get stationed. And this story, this story is based on what you're talking about. He went to Virginia Commonwealth University, and what made him join the military was that, so he put a lot of work in. He didn't come from the best of families. He didn't come from the best of neighborhoods, but he had a lot of friends. And he said that he wanted to do something with his life and make his father proud, because his mom passed away. And he says when it came down to finally graduate from university, he invited basically all his friends that he could. He had maybe a dozen tickets or something like that, like 10 or 12, I don't know. But he says all those supposedly friends since childhood, none of them showed up. Only his dad showed up for his graduation. And wow. What really pissed him off, or really made him angry, was that every time one of their friends got out of prison, they would throw a big barbecue and everybody would come in and celebrate that friend getting out of prison.
But you can't celebrate me
graduating
doing something. College. Yeah, right.
And at that point, it really woke him up and says, you know what? These are not friends. They're just people I knew growing up by default. And I'm going to do something with my life. And after that, he talked to his dad. He said, hey, I'm going to go in the military. I always wanted to do that. Plus, I have nothing behind. I mean, you're my only true friend, my dad. And yeah, it kind of hits you hard, you know, the fact that you can relate to this guy you don't even know. And it puts you in a situation where you're like, I have all these friends that I always said they were my friends, but when somebody does something stupid, like go to prison, they're celebrating when they get out. But I actually put work in to better myself and my family, and nobody cares.
So do you put that, put those people in the category of reason, season, or lifetime? Why? Well, they're not lifetimes. Would they be reason or season?
Well, I think those are just pretenders. I mean, they're really
okay. All right.
Those are the kind that you're just going to, you know, just wipe off the desk and you're just going to clean your desk out. You don't need them anymore.
But isn't being a friend, even if you're pretending to be someone's friend, to me, that's a lot of work.
Everybody's different. But like you mentioned earlier, you know, they only have you in the back of your pocket in case they need something. You're just there as a backup. You're on the bench in case I need you, not because I want you or need you or care for you. It's a different aspect.
It is. So why do you think some people have such a hard time being a friend?
Be many factors, ignorance, or they've never had a stable relationship, or just they don't know any better.
But do you think that those people, I mean, because I do believe that there are some people who are just awkward and they just don't know how, they're not socially apt. They're not, you know, they're just, they could be shy or whatever. I think that there are people like that who do have a hard time. I guess I should say those people have a hard time finding friends, or how do I want to say it? You understand what I know what I'm trying to say. I'm just not saying it right.
They just lack social skills to begin with.
Yes. Now I think that those people are in a different group with the people who just don't know how to be a friend. You just suck. You are that friend for a reason or a season. You just suck. So, you know. Homo Sanity, welcome. You're the first time on my panel. The only thing I say is no cursing and no disrespect. How are you?
Absolutely. I'm doing good. I have to laugh. I don't want to be too cynical, but I think it's different. I'm 54 and I think, you know, things have changed quite a bit from when I was younger. And I think that people are quite usury more now than before. I don't know, but I'm just going to say this is that one thing that I found over the last couple years or so that I'm starting to catch on to is if somebody is kind of coming off with the thing of like, boy, it's like I've known you all my life right away. I've learned that ends up burning me in the end. Like they just love you right away. And they want to be like your best buddy right away. And I've fallen for that so many times. And just got burned every time that's happened.
Okay. I'm going to ask this because it's interesting that you say that. So are you saying that you've never spoken to these people before at all, and then they say it's like I've known you forever, or you've been speaking to them and then you finally meet them and then they say I feel like I've known you forever?
Well, I've been speaking to them, but not for very long. You know, it might be in the second or third conversation that we have, and they say that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. I mean, because there are people that, in fact, people that I've met recently, but I have been speaking to them for quite some time, you know, be it through social media, if you're on Discord or whatever. And I feel like I've known them for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So are you telling me I'm going to get burned?
Well, but you said you've been talking to them for a while. I'm talking about like just the second or third conversation that's different than a long time, right?
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So you've never, so, okay. So are these people that you, when you say you've been talking to them, are you saying that you've been talking to them on the phone or like, what was the, you know, what were you?
It was on the phone. And some, it's rarely been, but a couple times it's been face to face. Like I might join a club, like I was part of a gay men's choir once. And these people like just instantly wanted to like be my friend, which I gravitated to because I'm pretty shy. So if somebody's like, oh, I really like you, it like lights me up, you know? Oh, you know, you're, you know, it's like I've known you all my life. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, goodness. You know, I'm just like, oh, wow, we're going to be best buddies. Okay, great.
So would you say, and I, please take, I may not say this the right way, but please take this just the way it's meant, just for the sake of this conversation we're having. Would you say that you're a naive person?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to ask one more question. Would you say you're a pushover?
I'm less now than I used to be. My problem is catching red flags. If I really like somebody's personality, I will forgive things that maybe I shouldn't. So
are you, okay, so you will always, so you're always the one who usually ends up being the better friend?
I don't know. That's hard for me to say.
Okay, let me ask this. And GP, you can pop back in on this, since you're the one that said it. Okay, so for Homo Sanity, GP said in the chat, do you agree with the statement, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are?
Show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. Wow. That's something, huh? Well, I mean, it's not like I do have some good friends right now. So, wow, that's a really, I never heard that before.
It can swing many ways.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it from like any side of the coin, one side of the coin can say, well, you have a very diverse group of friends that says you're very easy to get along with. You know, you're good people.
Yeah.
You know, you're a very understanding person. But on the other side of the coin is, well, are you just having people to use them? Are you just around to benefit, or are you a good person? You got some bad people in there, man. Are you a bad person? So there's so many ways to look at it, but it's a common statement.
But GP, don't you think that sooner or later you'll be able to weed out the bad apples?
Yes. But also, if you have a good heart, you might be the kind that is very forgiving and understanding and understand that not everyone's the same. So it's like I said, that's the other side of that coin.
So for Homo Sanity, then would you have those group of people, and would you have a hard time weeding out the bad ones, even if you knew who the bad ones were, but you were trying to be nice and what have you, so you kept them around?
I did keep people around longer than I should have, and I get what happens is I keep them around and I end up getting burned. They use me until they're done with me. then I end up getting hurt in the end is what happens. So
you're saying, okay, you have limits? So,
what was that?
You're saying you have limits.
Yeah, I do have limits.
So GP, by him saying that, that he ends up keeping those people around, he ends up getting hurt. Does that tell you who he is, that he's a naive person, or he, I mean, what, because when you say, the last part of your comment, I'll show you who you are you saying then that you're either a naive person, you're a nice person, you're a strong person?
Yeah, I don't know. What's a major?
It could be that way.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that has a lot of variables. Your comment has a lot of variables in it.
Exactly. But also on the aspect, like, if all your friends are bad people, I mean, people that, you know, you just wouldn't get along, then that shows you that, hey, you get along with those kind of people, there's a reason behind it. Yeah. So it just depends on the whole spread.
Right. So since both of you guys are up here, so what do you say about the person who wants to be friends with the so-called in crowd, and the in crowd is not a good crowd, but they just want to fit in? What do you say about those people who just want to fit in?
Well, I know that place, and when I was younger, I could not fit in, and so, you know, I made my place with the band nerds, and you know, ironically, I lived in two places where if you were in band, it was super cool, and when we moved, when I was in band, it was the worst thing you could be in. And there was nothing I could do about that. I made my friends with who I could make my friends with. I understand it, that you want to be with people that, for whatever reason, you admire. But there's also, you know, I'm coming to terms with the fact that I understand it, but also there's a shallow element to it, right? That these are the popular people who are just kind of having attention drawn to them. I think it's a very human thing to want those things, but you need to go deeper than that.
So for some people then, do you think that it's best just to be a loner and just be by yourself?
I don't want to hog the stage. I was going with the other guy.
GP, you want to take that one?
I agree with what he said on the first question. I agree with what he said.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't get in the middle of that, because everything you said I agree with.
Okay, so I mean, so do either of you guys think that sometimes it's just good just to be by yourself? So you're insulating yourself, and it's just, you know, I'm just gonna go to work, go home, go to school, go home, and you just never have that friend, but you just have people that you know, but you never get into a relationship with them, because there are people who are like that, who are afraid of getting hurt, so they just don't get into a relationship. And when I say relationship, I'm not talking about a personal relationship like a lover or anything. I'm just talking about a friend.
I think that's kind of, I think we can go through stages of that, but I think that's kind of unhealthy. I mean, for some people, I guess that's how they are, but I think we all need somebody to talk to on a deeper level. And if we don't have somebody to do that with, it gets kind of unhealthy.
Yeah, I agree with
that's
that.
That's true.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, one of your health measurements is also based on mental health and social You have to be social. I mean, you cannot just wander off in your own mind, because your mind will play tricks on you. For example, like if you're incarcerated, the way to punish you is isolation. Mm-hmm. They know that the human mind has no limits. So that's the way they would punish somebody who's already incarcerated. So people that do that, it's a really bad thing. You have to be social. You like it or not, it's for your own good health. So it goes hand in hand.
This is true. This is true. Well, y'all, that's all I got. Homo Sandy, do you want to give a last word before I end?
I think that, you know, everybody's in different places in their life. And I think, you know, where we're at today has really upset the apple cart in our lives socially. And we need to be kind and compassionate to ourselves on where we are. And that kindness and compassion to ourselves will be what we can give to others. So if you're finding yourself wondering why you can't give something to somebody else or make those connections to somebody else, you have to first go inward and give that to yourself, that support to yourself, and then you'll be able to give that to others.
Okay. All right. GP, you have a last word?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it goes back to the basics of, if you can't help yourself, how are you going to help others? So, yeah, you got to take care of yourself, because at the end of the day, happiness will always be an inside job.
Okay. All right. I agree with both of that. Well, I am going to end my outro is going to be Count on Me with by Whitney Houston and CeCe Winans. That would be my outro. And GP and Homo Sanity, thank you so much for popping up on the panel. And here we go. And Homo Sanity, I'm going to, okay, he popped down. All right. So here we go. And that's it, everyone. Thank you guys for coming. And again, GP and Homo Sanity, thank you for joining me on the panel. Everyone, thank you for your comments and your likes. And enjoy your day or evening wherever you are. And I will be back tomorrow. So until then, bye.